Bob Fitzgerald, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. You can hear him on NBC Sports Bay Area with Kalen Azubuike. Tonight's a 5 o'clock tip against the Pelicans. And Fitz, are you a Star Wars guy?
I'm a big Star Wars guy. Game is on Plus today, so if you're looking for it, this will be the only remaining Plus game we have the rest of the year. So I know people get confused on that. They tune in at 5 and go, I'm watching the Giants. No, we're on Plus, and we got the Warriors-Pelicans.
Hey, Fitz, I guess Luke Skywalker had one big shot, and he made it.
Yep.
So we were just throwing around, like, biggest shots in NBA history.
I know. It was really cool. And then you know, between Guru and Dibs, they always, like, funge all the facts on a few things. So just, you know,
yeah.
I'm a stickler for getting everything right. So
well, an even better way to compliment us would be to say, Dibs, that was a brilliant idea on this May the 4th. And let me contribute and correct you along the way, because
well,
I am Bob Fitzgerald.
It was, Dick Stockton never worked for NBC. So that was the first one. He only did the NBA and CBS.
Okay.
And then Guru was getting a little loose. It was close. But the last
tape. What did I do?
The last tape delayed game ever in NBA Finals history was May 16th, 1986.
But if you heard what I said,
no,
I referenced
you're right.
it
you're
that
right.
if
yeah,
the NBA games
right.
had been tape delayed, not the finals.
Right.
Fitz?
No, I
yeah.
hear you. But I'm just saying that we love to, you know, and you guys don't do this because you love the NBA, and I love you guys, is that everybody, you know, the NBA Finals used to be on tape. That was 25 years ago, okay?
Right.
Like, I mean, you know, people act like this stuff happened 3 years ago or something. Like,
yeah.
There was this really cool guy that came in the league named Michael Jordan, and then, like, after that, networks fell all over themselves to put things on television. So, but, yes, the NBA, that's credit to David Stern and his 30 years, how far the league has come. Now really the only global sport outside of soccer really in the world.
Yeah, Champions League, as you know, Bob, up in 10 minutes. And not to correct the corrector, but it's actually 35 years ago since, 86.
Yeah,
quietly.
There you go. See?
Hey, Bob, I got my 35-year reunion coming right around the corner.
Perfect, dude.
Bob, biggest shots of your career that you've been able to see and or call in keeping with the Luke Skywalker Death Star walk-off?
Well, the two that are near and dear to my heart, because I love both these guys, John Paxson. Phoenix Suns, Chicago Bulls, and in the game six, and they win it. But it told you a lot about a lot of people. Okay, is it here's Scottie Pippen? I don't want the ball. Here's Horace Grant. I don't want the ball. Kick it out to Paxson. I'll rail the three and win the game. Thank you. You know, and then the other one, you guys did the Brian Russell, but Michael Jordan and Steve Kerr in the ultimate Hoosiers moment. Michael knowing, hey, they're going to double-team me, be ready. And Steve Kerr, like, you can't even write the Hollywood script. I'll make it, just like Jimmy Chitwood.
Yeah.
And sure enough, here's Michael reading the double-team, throws it to Steve, foul line jumper, boom, Bulls title. Like, to me, and, you know, Matt, you know, because you covered the league so long, there's all kinds of Angel Food Cake stat guys, okay? You know, oh, this guy averages 20 a game, whatever. Then there's dudes in the final 2 minutes that you can't find them.
Right.
Because they got no huevos. And then there's guys that like, hey, big moment, you know, all right, I'm in. And you see Steph Curry and Damian Lillard and guys like that that live for that big moment. And those are just the ones, when you really follow the league, it ain't Robert Horry. You know, if we were explaining who Robert Horry was to people, like Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob would hurt you at key times. And so that's the one I think of a lot for the Kings fans. Is, you know, here's a ball that's batted out, ricocheted right to Horry, and he hits that jump, like, right to him, you know. And then my other one that changed NBA history a little bit, and just as my ultimate, even the smartest coaches in the world are dumb, you know, hey, we're up three, we're going to win a title. Let's let LeBron shoot a three. Oh, he missed. Let's all go for the rebound for some reason and leave Ray Allen in the corner. You know, what were the Spurs doing there? I mean, God, it just – you know, so those big shots, they change history. And, you know, Matt brought up the Kawhi one, which is amazing because, you know, who was going to get the gift title out of the East with all the Warrior injuries instead of Philly getting it? Oh, Toronto got their gift title.
Fitz, all good stuff. Hey, real quick about that that Spurs-Miami. Why did Pop take Duncan out? Maybe he could have got that rebound on that miss.
No,
I'll leave that
the
there.
Thing, Guru, that
go ahead. Why did you take him out?
No, this is where we all have to change our mindset and think differently. You don't want the rebound. You don't care. If you're not going to foul, which is idiocy, once they shoot a three, if they get the rebound and lay it in, you still lead by one. Why you once they shoot, you guard the 3-point line so they can't kick it back out. Like we just showed last night that great Steph corner three with Anthony Davis falling all over him when the Warriors came from 20 down. Here are Monty Williams, who is a Popovich disciple, decides not to foul up three. Steph misses, and then all the Pelicans turn, hey, let's get the rebound. And then what does Most Bates do? He kicks it out to Steph. And he beats him when he ties it with the three, and the Warriors win in overtime. Like, we got to change our mindset. Once they shoot that three, you don't even care about the rebound. Just don't let them kick it back out to a 3-point shooter again.
That's how you win, man.
That's how you win games.
Hey, I need your backup, Fitz. Listen, Steph's amazing. I'll leave that there. Dre had a triple-double. I'm selling to the guys. If this team is going to do what I think they can, they're going to miss Oubre. And, you know, a lot of people out there, Fitz, saying, oh, they'll be okay. Where do you come out, this team, with or without Oubre? I think it's a big deal.
Well, then they didn't see the 20 points he scored off the bench in three straight games when he came back from the wrist injury. I mean, there's never a better setup when you have less guys. Like, they're going with duct tape right now and eight guys. I mean, just from a fatigue standpoint, particularly if you get into a playoff series, you know, how many of those guys can score 20 and be explosive? And Marcus Thompson, our buddy, wrote a great piece on Sunday. If you're playing, you know, because I think it's going to be Warriors-Utah. If you're playing Utah, I want Oubre to guard Conley and Mitchell. And I mean, I want him as an extra defender. I want him as a guy energy-wise off the bench. I want him as a lob catcher and someone cutting without the ball. Like, to think, hey, I want a good player not to be there, that's insanity. You want as many good players healthy as possible for the postseason.
Yeah, I don't want him in there with Steph for the most part.
No, that's okay. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Here's one thing I was thinking, and it was, you know, I brought it up earlier. You know, Steph is such a unique guy to play with because you've got to, as a teammate, you've got to be aware of how he can play off the ball.
That's right.
And I think one of the reasons that they struggle a little with Wiseman and Oubre is because it takes a while to figure out how to play with Steph, and it, a lot of times, involves patience. And I just think, you know, Wiseman is a 19-year-old. You know, he's busy worrying about his own game and fitting into the league, and Oubre just got here. You know, and that's why I think, you know, Wiggins has done a pretty nice job of playing with Steph.
Absolutely.
He knows to take a step back at times.
Yeah, no, I think that's very well said, Matt. I think that the issue is, you know, we've created a little thing for it. We watch it. We call it the non-Steph minutes.
Right.
Is those non-Steph minutes, you need Oubre or you need Pascal or you need other guys. Like, you're dying for, like, even in the Houston game, Jordan Poole and Mulder had 17 each. Then the Warriors are going to win.
Right.
You know, but we have all seen that second unit. And it's not true because Steve is changing different bodies in there, and he'll put Wiggins in, who saved the day in the non-Steph minutes last night early in the fourth, is that you need someone that can score in those non-Steph minutes. But you're correct in that with Steph, hey, Juan Toscano-Anderson rolls with Steph pretty nicely, or yep. Damian Lee knows what to do, and Wiggins is really figuring it out as the season has progressed. He's a very unusual guy to play with and play off of. Now, Wiseman down the road will be just fine because it's like, hey, when they lob you the ball, just dunk it. And he's going to do that a lot. So he's going to be great because he's far more explosive than Looney is. But Kevon right now is a better screener, and they all understand the Steph relocate play really well. And so, no, it's totally fair. I'm just thinking in a playoff game, the non-Steph minutes become critical because you just can't die in those 6-7 minutes in the second and the fourth. The game will be over.
And that's why it's so intriguing to us to see Oubre Jr. with that group where he could freewheel a little bit more offensively and be sort of that aggressive force. Fitz, how important is it to the Warriors to get to that eight to avoid having to play two play-ins to get into a playoff, especially considering they're likely going to be shorthanded getting down there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, Dibs. And I think, you know, Steve is a great politician on all the media stuff. Last night, he definitely showed a few cards where he's like, we got bigger things because, you know, he basically hinted the odds of being in 9-10, that doesn't work. At 7-8, you got one shot, boom, if you win against Portland or something, you're in. And then if you lose, you still have a home game to win, to get in. You know, so the 7-8 way is way better than the 9-10 stuff.
Fitz, I was having cardiac arrest yesterday thinking that the Lakers might be a possible opponent in that play-in series, and thankfully they won. But I'm telling the guys, I don't like Portland in that instance. A Portland Warriors series in the play-in, what does that do for you in regard to fear, the fear factor?
Well, I mean, the one good thing is, you know, you're going to play good teams. You know, that's the beauty of it. I really, you know, with all apologies to all the people I love, like LeBron and others, I love the play-in. I hope it's here forever. I think it's great. The Washington Wizards are the poster boys for the play-in. You know, when a team is banged up, or in their case, COVID and all that, and they're, you know, it's all janky season, and then they get hot at the right time, like the We Believe team got hot at the right time. They were only 42-40. Is that this allows, you know, it's not easy. If you're the 10, you got to go win on the road, then you got to win a second game. Like, you have to earn your way into it. But I love it as far as there's interest for tons of teams now into the last week of the season. That's a good thing for the sport. That's not bad. You know, and if you're good, like if you're Portland or if you're the Dubs in that 7-8 game, you know, you got to play one more game to be a playoff team. But, oh, my God, one more game. We only played 72 this year. Like, come on, man. That's a little weird that people are kind of bagging on that. People don't like things that are new sometimes. But as far as fear, you know, you lost the season series to Portland, so you're going to go, you know, on the road and deal with Dame and McCollum, and, you know, Nurkic is back, and you're playing up in Portland. But the Warriors have had good success up there. And the way they're playing, you know, they're 10-5 in their last 15. You know, the Dallas game would be the one clunker. Other than that, they've played a lot of really good basketball. So, you know, give me Dame and Steph, you know, for a one-gamer. And then if the Warriors get nudged out, then they come home to, you know, play the winner of Memphis, San Antonio, and, you know, at Chase for a chance to see Utah in the first round. I'm up for it.
Bob, let me ask you one more before we, you know, before we say goodbye. And that is, assuming the Warriors make the playoffs and they're in a seven-game series with, I don't know, Utah or Phoenix, doesn't matter. What do you think's coming for Steph Curry in a series?
Oh, man. I mean, it'd be two different things. If it's Utah, you know, they Conley guards Steph pretty well, and they're going to funnel him to Gobert and everything. And you're going to have guys like George Niang and, you know, and Royce O'Neal guard. I mean, Utah, they're going to bang Steph all over the place. If it's Phoenix, I think Chris Paul will, you know, he'll throw him off to Bridges and a few other guys. And, you know, that's another team that I don't think they're as organized right now as Utah is. The one thing, and I'm going to steal from Guru here from months ago, you know, Utah and Phoenix haven't done it.
Right.
They haven't done it, you know, and Steph and Draymond have, and Looney's been in all these big games. And what I love about the playoffs, people are like, oh, they're going to lose. Yeah, they probably will. But you're trying to find out who's going to be part of what you do next. You know Steph's there, and you know Draymond's there, and Looney will be there. But what is Wiggins part of what's next? Is Mulder part of what's next? Is Jordan Poole part of what's next? Can Pascal get healthy to be part of what's next? Like, I want to find, you know, put Damian Lee out there, put Baze. I want to find out.
Yeah.
I want to find out. Like, that matters and helps in the offseason to figure out what you got when it really the lights were hot. What, you know, who could step forward or who shrunk up? I mean, that really helps in evaluation. So, and I just think after 17 out of 18 years in the lottery, I don't want to be a lottery team. I don't ever want the Warriors to be back in the lottery. Like, so for me, that's, you know, the only way to avoid the lottery is to be a playoff team. And it's there for them, and I hope they do it.
Used to be the front office had a timeshare in Secaucus, Bob.
Yeah, believe me. But, well, you know what the worst part is, Dibs, and this is, you know, right along my Chicago Bears GM thing where they had top 10 picks and came up empty, is the Warriors had all these top 10 picks and they became, you know, Ike Diagu and Patrick O'Brien and things like that.
Boy.
Is that it's one thing to be in the lottery, but you got to get productive players.
Yeah.
You know, I don't follow 7-8 years where you keep, you know, focusing on where a guy was drafted. Like, I don't watch Draymond now go, he was the 35th pick. Like, I just know he's going to the Hall of Fame. You know, where Clay was the 11th pick or Steph was the 7th pick. I think once the draft is done and guys start having careers, you got to let that go. But what I do find is if you're in the top 10 and you swing and miss and you get guys that, you know, hey, Epe Udo and Ike Diagu and Patrick O'Brien and just guys that just, you know, flushed out, you can't miss like that if you're in the top 10. Like, you just, you know, I don't care if you got the 8th best or the 2nd best or the 3rd best. I don't really focus on that. Just, you know, you got to get a player if you're a top 10. That's the key.
You loving Justin Fields?
No. Not particularly.
Wow. Tell us how you really feel. Yeah.
No, I mean, Ryan Pace had 4 top 10 picks, and he took Kevin White. You know, he took Mitch Trubisky. He took Leonard Floyd and Roquan Smith. So 4 top 10 picks that my dog could have picked productive players, and the Bears got 1 out of 4. You need to be fired. So now, because he's going to be fired, hey, I'll give away all future picks and this, and, you know, Justin Fields are so happy he got a quarterback. There's a reason he probably was still available at 11.
All right.
Wow.
You know. Although, and I'm crediting all you guys with this because I think that, you know, we know the Niners front office listens to the show. I think our Mac Jones stuff scared the Niners away from drafting him.
Yeah,
I think they were all pointed in the Mac Jones direction until a ton of people said, for the love of God, no.
And
I'm not saying Mac Jones, you know, might not be okay down the road. He lasted to 15 for a reason. But if you traded 3 number ones to get Mac Jones and he would have been sitting there at 15, wow. That would have been very Ryan Pace-like. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's true.
So Garoppolo, Trey Lance, way to go, Niners. Excellent job.
All right, great. Bob.
Guys, you're the best.
Time, as always.
And Dibs, phenomenal little best shots of all time stuff. Way to go.
Thank you, Bob. Maybe you give me a he made that from Fairfax next time you're looking for a geographical
shout-out. We need a Fairfax
shout-out
in there?
I would appreciate it. The 7,500 of us from Fairfax would love that.
I will make you a promise. Between now and the end of the season, there will be a Fairfax mention.
My guy.
That's happening.
And if the Warriors play the Sixers in the finals and Curry makes a shot at Philly, say, from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Hey, I gave your guy Finch a lot of love. He did a hell of a job. Minnesota's way better than they have been. And that's why also I'll just leave you guys with this. All the hand-wringing on, hey, Minnesota's winning games. You know what? I'll take the 7th pick or the 6th pick or the 5th pick or the 8th pick, whatever. You want that Minnesota pick now. Because next year they might be tossing you the 10th or 11th or 12th or 14th or whatever. Take that Minnesota pick this year some way, somehow. If that, you know, Minnesota wins, it increases your chances of getting the pick. Maybe you're not getting 4 or 5, but, you know, the 6th pick and the 17th pick added to this core with, you know, Wiseman and Clay coming back, that'll be some fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I'm with you there. This year, get that thing over with.
Well, you said, you know, you got Mac Jones out of here, guys. So keep it going on the Warriors. Let's see how we finish the year. Big game.
Bring on Utah, Fitz.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do it. Bring it on.
All right, Fitz. Have a good one, buddy.
Be good.
All right, Bob Fitzgerald.